The secret to selling the Pawnee high-risk, high-rate lease is the same as the secret to selling any other lease and can be summed up in a single, two-part principle. Know the customer and know the transaction. In the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about exactly what that means and how to apply it specifically to the typical Pawnee lease. Hi, I'm Jerry Egan, and I am going to talk about that and about how you can use both parts of that principle to close more leases, close them more easily, and do so more profitably. I'm going to start with some general equipment leasing sales ideas, ideas that are customer focused and designed to give you the insight you need to become the customer's partner. I'm going to talk about the three things you must know about the customer in order to know whether or not you can sell them an equipment lease, and it might surprise you to know that they're not credit issues. I'm going to talk about what the customer already knows about the transaction that you must know in order to sell the terms you need to sell, and believe me when I say he wants to tell you. Finally, I'm going to talk about how to prepare for and handle some of the issues typical of and specific to the Pawnee lease, including higher rates, personal guarantees, automatic draft payments, security deposits, and early payoffs. Professional, top-performing equipment leasing salespeople know how to leverage their time by working with and through a network of reliable equipment vendors. But they also know they can't afford to spend their time submitting applications they'll never get funded. That means they sell their leases to their lessees before they sell them to their funders. Only by doing that can they assure themselves that they're investing their time submitting transactions that the customer is committed to completing. That also makes them a reliable and high-priority source to their funders. There's no magic to doing so either. The only difference between those that do and those that don't is whether they will and whether they won't. Those that don't, generally don't for one of two reasons. They're not in touch with their lessees directly, or they don't know how to sell to them effectively when they are. The first reason may even be a result of and or a way of avoiding the second one. But it is your time you're investing and your funding relationship, and the only way you can be sure you're protecting both is to be certain for yourself that the customer is prepared to go ahead with the transaction before you commit either your time or your funding source to it. It's good selling, too, because it keeps you in a good negotiating position. If you invest your time and make an approval commitment to your customer before he commits to you, you're giving away the upper hand in closing the transaction. If he wants to renegotiate terms now, you both know that you want to do the lease and have time and resources already invested in it. He gives up nothing by going elsewhere, but you want to save the investment you've already made. It's far easier and, frankly, far more likely you'll decide to give in to whatever he asks, rationalizing that getting something is better than getting nothing and having to write your prior efforts off as a dead loss. Okay, so we know it's a good idea to get the customer sold first. Now the question is, how do we do it? There are three things that if you know about the prospect and the transaction will give you virtually all you need in order to get his commitment. Before we get into them, though, let's talk for a minute about the typical lease presentation and how it actually plants the seed for most of the objections that follow it. If you'll step back and think about it for a minute, the vast majority of objections you deal with can be traced back to rate or price, and, at the root of them all, how much you're adding to the purchase price of the leased equipment. Isn't that right? If you doubt that, then ask yourself the question this way. If you are offering a 0% lease, you know, just dividing the equipment cost by the number of months in order to calculate the payment. And then if there was no residual, would you get the price-related objections you get now? Of course not. Of course, you also wouldn't make any money either. So your objective is to do away with the customer's price objections without doing away with your commission, right? Well, the root of those objections, as we said, is how much you're adding to the equipment cost. And there's the crux of the problem right there. All the focus is on the equipment cost, and that has nothing to do with how the customer will benefit from the equipment at all. Let's think about that for a minute. What is the purchase price anyway? The purchase price represents the aggregate cost of the raw materials that went into making the equipment, the time and cost of the research and development that went into designing it, the transportation and storage it took to get it to the vendor's warehouse, and the vendor's cost of sales, including the vendor rep sales commission, plus everyone's required return and investment along the way. What does any of that have to do with the customer? What the customer wants to know is, what will it do for him? Will it cut his costs or increase his revenues? There's really no other reason for him to even consider it. I can guarantee you that's what's on his mind. He wants to know what it will do for him if he uses it. That's what he wants to know, and that's what you should want to know. I get calls and emails every day from leasing salespeople from all around the country asking for help, and it's a never-ending source of amazement to me that most can't tell me what the proposed lease equipment will do for the equipment customer. It's always the first question I ask them when they call. Most just don't really know. They know it's newer, or it's bigger, or it's faster, but they're unable to tell me specifically how that will impact the customer if he uses it. Yet that's the most important thing to the customer. It's far more important to him than the purchase price. It's also something the customer is eager to talk about. Do you doubt it? Don't you like talking to people about significant improvements and important progress you make in your business? Of course. Most other people do too. What the customer is interested in is the utility value of the equipment, what it does for him when he uses it. That's a completely different thing than the purchase price. For your own business, would you buy something that had no utility value? Something that didn't help you get more business or make more profit? What if it was a great price? Would that matter? If it doesn't help the business, who cares what it costs? Conversely, if you saw something that you knew for certain, starting on day one, would make you a certain and specific amount of money, a net profit generator, would you really care what it costs to make it? Of course not. Here's another example. If you knew for certain that a young salesperson you were interviewing would generate you, net, after salary, commissions, expenses, or whatever, an extra $100,000 in profit, would you really care what it cost his parents to raise and educate him? The question sounds silly, doesn't it? We can't purchase people, so we're not used to thinking about hiring in those terms. But the analogy is still a very good one. You only care about what that young salesperson will net for your business, his utility value. Your lessee prospects feel the same way about the equipment you want to lease to them. We need to shift the focus off of the equipment cost, what it costs to manufacture and deliver it, and shift it onto how the customer will benefit from it, the utility value. Again, I can promise you the customer is already thinking about that. The vendor, though, has typically done a poor job of identifying, isolating, pricing, and presenting it. Even if he's tried, he's ended his presentation by closing on the purchase price anyway. Then we come along and compound the problem by quoting payments based on that amount without ever asking the customer about that utility value. What else does he have to measure your quote against? If you and the vendor are both focused on the purchase price, he thinks he should be too. Now, honestly, if you were the customer, and you were in that situation, and I was the leasing rep, and you and I and the vendor were all focused on the purchase price, wouldn't you be looking carefully at how much I was adding to it? Sure you would. Anyone would. And your customers definitely do. Now, for the typical Pawnee lease, some brokers have asked if all this is really necessary. Pawnees doing leases no one else will do. The customer doesn't really have any other choice. Does all this really matter? The answer is yes, more than ever. Because Pawnee is doing a higher risk lease, they do have to charge a premium rate. Because of that, it's even more critical that your customer stay focused on the value of the equipment he's leasing. Even though they may understand why that's necessary, no one wants to have to pay top dollar. You'll soften that if you keep the customer focused on the utility value of what he's leasing. This is what will keep your customers from backing out after you've done all the work and submitted the application for approval. Okay, so here's the three things you need to know about any customer and transaction to get the focus off that purchase price and what you're adding to it, and to make an effective leasing presentation and know whether or not you can get as a commitment to lease from you. The first thing, what is the utility value of the proposed equipment? What will it do for the customer's business? Not what is it, or what it's made out of, or how it works, or how fast it is, but how does using those features impact the customer's business? The customer's had to think about that. You should find it out. It's possible he's still struggling with it, and talking it through with you helps him understand it better himself. But it's critical that you know it. Why? Because you're going to want to detach your leasing quote from the purchase price of the equipment and attach it firmly to that utility value. And here's the good news and why it's so easy to do. You'll be glad you're in this business now. The customer already understands or visualizes the utility value in monthly terms. This is why so many vendor reps struggle with price issues. Their customer is understanding or relating to the benefits of the equipment in monthly terms, but they're pricing and quoting them in lump sum lifetime costs. Do you doubt it about the monthly analysis? If you tell someone that something will cut his cost by 20%, what kind of cost figures do you think come to his mind? How is he used to seeing those costs? On his monthly P&L statement. How about increasing his sales by 15%? Where does he see sales increases most immediately? That's right, once again, his monthly P&L. You now know the utility value of the equipment to him. You know it in monthly terms, and you are ideally positioned to attach your lease quote to it. But there's still two more critical pieces of information you need. The second thing you need to know is, if he doesn't buy this equipment, what else would he do with the money? What do you think is his answer to that question? It's something else he believes will help his business. If he doesn't buy this equipment, he'll use the money for something else in his business that he believes will also help it grow. In the list of things he wants because of what they will do for his business, this is the next most important item, the second choice, or the thing he'd do next. He'd like to do this too, whatever it is, but he's made the equipment you're proposing his first priority. Why should you care about this second choice, or next priority, particularly if it's not something you could lease? The answer is simple. At some point, he is likely to compare the cost of the lease to a cost of purchase, or perhaps even to some other type of financing. Most leasing salespeople find it hard to compete with the option of paying cash or with favorable bank loan terms. That's because, once again, they're comparing their lease payment to the wrong thing. Instead of comparing their lease payment with the cash or the bank rate, you need to compare your lease payment and the net benefit of what you're leasing with the utility value of whatever it is he'd buy if he didn't get the proposed equipment. That value is certain to be higher than its cost, otherwise he wouldn't be considering it. But now you know what he'd have to give up, that is to go without, if he pays cash for the equipment you propose. You've identified his opportunity cost of capital. Very large companies have internal finance departments that calculate this for them. But for even the smallest business, and perhaps especially for them, this is the real measure and it's readily figured. When it comes to presenting your lease proposal, you now know two valuable pieces of information. You know what the utility value or economic benefit of the proposed equipment is, and it's already expressed in monthly dollars, and you know what the opportunity cost of his capital is. That is, you know what he'd have to give up doing if he chooses to pay cash instead of leasing your proposed equipment. But there's still one more piece to the puzzle, and this last piece will tell you whether or not you can make use of the first two. The third thing, would he use a rebate or a coupon? Sounds stupid, doesn't it? But this is how you'll know whether or not you can get a commitment to lease from this person. See, you need to know if the person you're dealing with will bother to factor in the utility cost of the equipment and opportunity cost of capital and look at the particular available tax benefits of your lease in order to see his true or net cost. If not, if all he'll ever look at is the sticker price, how much you're adding to the dealer's price, you've got a sales process you won't be in control of and a prospect that will keep you on the defensive the whole time you try to sell to him. Who needs that? Your objective should be to winnow them out and concentrate on finding the people who will respond to the kind of proposal you want to make. All right, there's the three things you need to know, and here's a simple way to find them out. Ask. That's right, just ask. I've worked on these ideas with many dozens of salespeople over the years, and virtually all of them thought they were worthwhile, but only a few of them really benefit from them. Know why? Most aren't willing to ask the customer about those three things. Sounds incredible, doesn't it? Here's three simple but critical things every equipment leasing salesperson needs to know, each of which the customer is eager to talk about, and most of us just don't bother to ask. Just asking will make all the difference in your sales efforts and results. How you ask isn't nearly as important as that you ask, But here's how I handle it. It's ridiculously easy. Now, no one likes to be sold, right? So early on, I say to the prospect, Mr. Prospect, I won't pretend to know enough about you and your business to know if leasing this will be right for you. But if I can ask you about 3 questions, you'll be able to tell me whether or not it's even worth looking at what I've got to offer. Do you want to take a minute or two right now to see? First, Mr. Prospect, what made you pick out this equipment? They always answer in benefit terms what it will do for their business. With just a few probing questions, here's where I find out its utility value to him. That sounds great, Mr. Prospect. I can see why you're anxious to get it. Let me ask you this, though. If you didn't get this piece of equipment, what else would you do with the money, or the bank credit, or whatever? Here's where I'll find out what else he wants that he'll have to go without if he buys this piece of equipment, and I'll probe that, too, to find out its utility value, because that's his opportunity cost of capital. Finally, Mr. Prospect, and this might sound silly, but if you were looking for a television and went into Best Buy and there were 2 comparable sets on the shelf, selling for $600 and $625 respectively, which one would cost more? I told you it would sound silly. Now suppose you flipped over the price tag on the $625 television, Mr. Prospect, and it had a $25 rebate on it. Now which one costs more? Most people will say they cost the same. Mr. Prospect, you're the kind of business person who typically benefits from equipment leasing because you look at the bottom line, net cost of things, and not just at the sticker price. Surprisingly, Mr. Prospect, many business people don't, and so they actually end up paying much more for many things than they really need to. Voila! In just a few short conversational minutes, in which the prospect did most of the talking, I learned how much it's worth for him to pay per month for the use of the equipment. That utility value gives me his monthly break-even cost, what the opportunity cost of his capital is, in terms he'll readily understand, that is what he'll have to give up if he uses it, and position him to agree to look at the net bottom line of the transaction, the first 2 items, instead of focusing on just the purchase price and what I'm adding to it. Ask in a way that's comfortable for you to ask, but ask. Failing to ask and to learn these 3 things about each transaction is like putting a blindfold on and getting behind the wheel of a car. You can't see the road where you should be going. You can't see the obstacles you might crash into. And if you ever do get where you're going, you'll be relying completely on someone else or on sheer blind luck. That's no way to drive, and it's sure no way to sell.